Good morning. Welcome. So glad that you're here today. Today, how many people want to walk away knowing that you can get your prayers answered? How many want to walk away today with that answer? Amen. Today, we're going to go into the Word of God and discover how to get our prayers answered and to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to answer us, fulfill our prayer requests, and to walk away fulfilled. If you're ready, just go ahead and lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm ready. For whatever you got for me. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, tap on the shoulder, and say, God's got something great for you. Amen. Today we have learned in our first week that we're talking about waiting on the fire of God. That is, having God's cleansing fire come into our lives to prepare us for what he's going to do next. We learned in our very first week that in the temple of Solomon went in and Solomon began to pray and said, God, I want you to dedicate this temple unto yourself. We've done all the outside work. We put all the stuff inside the building. But God, this place is empty without your presence. How many know that your life will be empty without God's presence in your life? The Bible tells us very clearly that know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so in order for us to receive that spirit indwelling, we want to have the fire of God. And we learn in the story of Chronicles that Solomon put in flesh on the altar, and it was a sacrifice unto God. And when he sacrificed the flesh on the altar, fire came down, burned up the flesh, and then and only then did the glory of the Lord enter into the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you very clearly, in order for us to see the glory of the Lord in the temple of God, in our lives, we've got to let our flesh burn on the altar. We've got to say, God, my will, not my will, but thy will be done. How many know the prayer that we were taught as children? Can you say it with me? Our Father, who art in hallowed, thy hold on. Whose will? In other words, if we want his kingdom, and how many want to see God? How many want to see like miracle signs? Anybody want to see a miracle? I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ, I was one of them dudes that didn't believe in anything. I didn't even believe the Holy Ghost was real. I was like, oh, that's Old Testament. That's what they did in the old days. Prophets aren't real. That's Old Testament. You're just making it up. And I don't know about you, but I was very logical. So for me, you had to convince me in a logical way. Well, how many know God doesn't need logic to show you that he's real? And I remember saying, God, if you can really do all that, then if the Holy Ghost is real, I want you to give him to me. I want to feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thought I was intelligent. And I'll never forget, went to the service, stood in line, and the man stood before me was a man of God, and I said, God, if you don't do this, if you don't touch me with the fire from heaven, I'm going to turn this church out. Anybody ever prayed that? Because I'm watching. My ushers are like, let me see who said that. No. And I remember saying, I said, God, if I don't feel the fire of God, I'm going to knock over the drums and I'm going to kick over the pulpit because I don't play with you, God. I'm real. I'm a real believer. I don't believe in all that fake stuff. God, if I don't feel it, it can't be real. And how many times do we gauge the reality of Christ based on our own experiences? We base whether God can do something based on whether we've ever experienced it. But how many know there's some things you've never seen in God and that they're yours if you would just believe? And I remember saying, God, give it to me. And I remember that I stood before the man, he prayed for me. And as I was praying, and I said, God, I don't feel anything. I said, I told you what I would do, God. I told you I would tear this church up because they're fake and I'm real. I remember opening my eyes and point my finger at that man of God to tell him something. And I felt the fire of God hit me. And it filled me. I mean, it was like water. The Bible says it was like living waters. It's like out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It was like I got filled with the power of God until I was so overwhelmed. You ever seen people on TV, they fall flat on their face? And you're like, man, that's just real. That, someone done knocked them down. Listen, I used to say that too until I got hit with the power of God and I started rocking. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to be like those people. Look at your neighbor and say, the fire is real. Now, if you want the fire, we realize in our church that in order to receive the fire, that translates to us today. We don't sacrifice doves and rams on the altar anymore, but we are to sacrifice our lives. We are to put ourselves on the altar for God. And if we, the way we're going to do that over the next 50 days is prayer. That when we enter into prayer, then we should see the fire of God come down. Has anybody ever been in a place where you did something you didn't want to do? Anybody ever done that before? You wish you hadn't done it? Come on. Can everybody tell the truth once? Come on. Thank you so much. We're in church. Have you ever done something wrong and you just felt guilty about it? Anybody like that before? Have you ever said anything you wish you could take it back? Anybody? Anybody? Y'all need to go to church. Y'all are really bad people. We all have, and there's got to be an antidote to that. And the Bible truly must have some solutions, or else we wouldn't all be here. We're looking for answers, and I'm looking for a way to pray to God and get my prayers answered. So what is the solution when we get in ourselves and maybe our flesh on the altar is not ready to lay down and die? How do you make yourself ready to die on the altar so that you could see the glory of the Lord enter into your life? Well, there's an answer in the Bible, and I want to take you there. Would you get in the car with me, please? We got a big old bus. Can we just get on the bus? All right, ladies and gentlemen, would you turn to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to start at verse 40. Ask your neighbor, does it got it? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? It's on the screen if you don't. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus was going through something. Jesus was on his way to Calvary's cross. He was on his way to die. He knew what he was about to face. He knew what he was about to go through. He was struggling, and there was an issue in his life. So he goes off about a stone's cast away from the disciples, and he kneels down, and he goes into prayer with the Father. Now, here's what happened on the other side of the story. This is for you and I. The Bible says in verse 40 that he returned to the disciples and found them what? Anybody ever fallen asleep while you've been praying? Listen, let me encourage you, stay awake. He's probably about to show up if you just kind of keep your eyes open. He said, then he returned to his disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, you know, sometimes, let me say this to you. You may not know how important you are to God. See, he went to Peter, and he didn't go to all the rest of the disciples. Sometimes he taps you on the shoulder and said, listen, can you, he's not talking to everybody else, can you just stay up with me for just an hour? I mean, 1 hour. And there are times where God will come to your house, tap you on your shoulder and say, listen, I don't want everybody else. I want you to stay up with me for 1 hour. In order for the fire of God to come, we've got to be able to hear the voice of God waking us up. Now look what happens. I want you to read verse 41 together. Go ahead and read that, please. Go. Say it again. Let me be very clear. The word there is keep watch. And, you know, we grew up in church and they say, you know, watch as well as pray. Watch as well as pray. But what does it mean to watch? In the Greek, the translation is wake up. Wake up and pray. Be vigilant. Open your eyes. Your body is tired, but your spirit needs to be awake. Open your eyes. Listen, don't give in to the normal. Don't give in where people say, you know what? I'll pray when I'm in the bathroom. That is not your best prayer. People say, well, I pray when right before I go to bed. And then they go to sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you that God is saying, I want you to wake up. That as we go into 50 days of prayer, I want you to wake up. I don't want you to just go with the flow of where you've always gone. Do what you've always done. I need you to think differently. Jesus is saying, listen, in order to see the fire of God, I need you to wake up and sit with me for 1 hour. I'm coming back, and I want to do something in your life. I want to be with you, but I need you awake and fully attentive, because when I come with your answers, it's going to blow your mind. God is saying, I want you to be awake. He says, keep watch and pray. And here's the antidote to our flesh. For the spirit is what? But the flesh is weak. The antidote to doing the things you don't want to do isn't just having willpower, it's prayer. We've got to learn to actually pray. And when we pray to God, it takes the taste of our flesh out of our mouth. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to this verse. I want you to go to James 4, and then I'm going to show you something here in a minute. James 4. Last week we learned that God told us to make time. We're going to learn how to fuel the fire to get our hearts right with God. And last week we learned by Minister John. Didn't Minister John do a good job last week preaching? We learned last week that we have to make time for prayer. In other words, you've got to be deliberate about it. You've got to decide that I'm going to make time for prayer. I'm asking all my ministers and my leaders, listen, I want an hour a day out of you. I want an hour a day that you're going into prayer with Jesus. We need, in order for us to see a breakthrough, we've got to make time for God. We've got to say, you know what? I know the football game's on, right? How many people like football? I told you last week, I hate it. Why do you have your hands up? No, I'm just playing. We can watch football, or we could stay up and watch every other thing, but we never spend time with God. We've got to make time for God, just like we make time to eat, make time to sleep, make time to go to work, make time to have friends, make time to watch television. Hey, if you can make time to do all those things, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And guess what? All these things will be. What are you missing in your life? Seek heaven, and it'll be added. Watch this. We learned that was our takeaway. I will make time for prayer. But here's our takeaway for today. Write this down, please. Where there is a will, there is a way. So I will pray God's will. Ladies and gentlemen, we heard that phrase all the time. We hear it when we talk about perseverance and the American spirit of being able to persevere, that if we have a will, there's a way to do something. And that's true in an American society, that if we have desire to achieve something and we have the willpower to do it, we can do it. But there's one place willpower, your will never work. Your will never work in prayer. Prayer has no place for your will. Prayer has only place for His. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to walk away and have your prayers answered, you've got to learn to pray God's will. Now, here's what I want to do. There's sometimes we pray, and when we don't pray God's will, we tend to pray what we want out of God. And we tend to think God is like a slot machine. We put our prayers in, we pull the lever, and He gives us everything we want. And that's just not how it works. And sometimes when we do that, it looks kind of funny. I want to show you, there's a movie that came out a couple years ago, and it featured a scene where a family were gathered around the table to pray. Let me say this to you. This is not how you pray. Watch this video.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call him. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Mm. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled-up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me? I win the races and I get the money.
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, like, I want to be formal, right, but I'm here to party, too. Because I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus, like, with giant eagle's wings, yeah, and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with, like, an angel band.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet. Just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. Mm. We just thank you for all the races I've won and the $21.2 million. Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money that I have accrued over this past season. Also, due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each grace, I just want to say that Powerade is delicious, and it cools you off on a hot summer day, and we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 Let's dig in.
Nail that like a split hog.
I appreciate that. I'm not gonna lie to you. It felt good.
Don't pray like that. Look at your neighbor and say, don't pray like that. You see, did you notice what he did? What he did in the movie was he had his own idea of who Jesus was. An 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus with golden fleece diapers. But the way to get your prayers answered is not to see God how you want to see him. Come on, somebody. But that we got to see God as who he is. That Jesus is all powerful. There's nothing impossible for him. And that God will do anything for you. Come on, somebody tell God thank you. So we've got to look at God not the way we want to see him, because when we see Jesus the way we want to see him, we won't get our prayers answered. I want to show you what the Apostle James said when we pray selfish prayers. Go to James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1 talks about a Talladega night when we pray. When we go into prayer and we're not praying according to who he is, but we pray for what we want. And I want you to walk away with your prayers answered, but the first thing is we can't pray our will. We've got to pray his. Watch this, verse 1. And James was saying, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires that war within you? He says, why are you fighting all the time? Why are you wrestling? Verse 2, would you read, please? Go. Uh-huh. Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. How many things in this world could we have if we would just go to prayer and ask God? How many times have we gone to the closet to cry, or to a room to pray, or to a doctor, when in reality the ultimate doctor can heal our bodies if we just go to him in prayer? What about the thing you need? You need a new job. And so you begin to be upset and angry and fight with your family, when all you really need to do is not quarrel among yourselves, but take it to the Lord in prayer. You have not because you... In other words, you just can't think about it. You've got to open your mouth and ask God. And if you ask it, he will give it. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you want a healthy relationship? Have you opened your mouth to say, God, I need you to touch my marriage. I need you to touch my home. I need you to touch my children. All you have to do is ask for it. God is saying, listen, all you have to do is do that. Look at verse 3. But this is what happens. Read verse 3, please. Go.
You want to
Okay, watch this. Okay, everybody close your eyes, please. Close your eyes. All right. Has anybody ever prayed to win the lottery? Raise your hand. Okay, quickly open your eyes and look around. No, I'm just playing. There are so many of the saints of God who said, God, boy, that Powerball, I could do so much for the kingdom of God. God, if you give me this, man, ooh, I like the way she looks, God. If that was my wife, God, if that, woo, glory, I'll serve you all the days of my life. We pray for things, God, if you just give me that job. You know what? If you give me a job, God, I'll be in church every weekend. And then your job says you got to work Sunday. And you say, well, God, you gave me the job. I'm not going to ignore it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you, that sometimes we've got to pray and we've got to say, you know, God's not going to give us anything that's going to hurt us. Can I break a thought here? Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, be careful what you pray for? Has anybody ever heard that? Show hands. Who's heard that? How many believe that? Raise your hand and say, I believe it. Be careful what you pray for. How many don't believe that? How many don't know whether you believe anything? Okay. Let me try that again. How many believe, be careful what you pray for? How many don't believe, be careful what you pray for? How many have no clue what I'm talking about? Okay, praise the Lord. We got three people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's very clear in verse 3. When you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all. Do you understand that God is not a slot machine? That he won't give you anything that's going to hurt you? So if you pray the wrong thing, would your loving God give it to you? No. If you say, God, you know, I want $1 million. And he knows if you get $1 million, you're going to lose 1 million things. He won't give it to you. So go ahead and pray. It ain't going to happen. You can say, God, you know, I want a promotion. But he knows you don't even finish the work you take home. Smile at me, please. Ain't gonna give it to you. But God will give you because he's intelligent. He doesn't just take your prayers and give out answers. He listens to you and he says, is this the purpose of your life? And if what you're asking for lines up with the purpose of your life, I will give you what you want. How do I know this is the truth? I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very key verse. I want you to walk away knowing a truth that you can walk away getting your prayers answered. There are 66 books in the Bible, full of 66 books with dozens and dozens and thousands of promises in them. And the Bible says that these are yours. But if you look at 1 John 5:15, it tells you how you can walk out of this church today with confidence. Here's what the Bible says. And this, about to tell us what this is the confidence that we have in him. Do you know how powerful that statement is? Because, you know, there's a lot of things we can go, you know what? Well, I hope God will do it. And I wish God would do it. But how many times you can't get nothing out of God from a wish? You got to have faith. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. Hold on. Can I get an amen from this side over here? Can I get an amen over here? Amen. Can I get an amen from this side over here? Can I get a hallelujah out of this place? Lord, have mercy. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible. It's not even close to being. Without it, it's impossible. So when you come to God, he didn't say, I want you to come weak-kneed, stumbling. Oh, God, I'm horrible. Oh, God, I'm the worst person in the world, but I need you to give me a new car. God going to say, well, when you feel better about yourself, come with the car. No, the Bible says, come boldly. It means you got to have some swagger. You got to have some, you know, God, I'm coming to talk to you, Father. You know what I'm saying? We need to talk. You can't come to God like this. Oh, God, don't strike me dead. Don't. come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain grace and find mercy to help in your time of need. God wants you to go to prayer with confidence. So what gives us confidence? Here's what it is. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Read. That if we ask. No. Some things. If we ask anything according. Wow. He what? Now, ladies and gentlemen, in other words, he ain't listening if it's with the wrong motives. But the moment you hit his will, his ears perk up. And listen, the key is not what you pray, but that he hears you. Have you ever prayed sometimes and wonder if anybody heard you? You ever been in a struggle with that? Because I used to pray and go, man, is it just me? Am I talking to the walls? God, are you even listening to me? Anybody ever done that before? And I remember saying, God, I don't even know if you're listening to me, but I'm going to pray anyway. This is the confidence that I have that if I ask anything according to your will, I know you hear me. And look what it says. And we know, verse 15, read. Yes. Uh-huh. That's, in other words, if you know you pray according to the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, when you pray and you read what God's word says and you pray it, then you know that he's listening to his own words. And if you know that he's listening to his own words, not just ours, then you can have confidence that whatever you ask him, he will give you. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to walk out of here getting your prayers answered? Find out what he wants. Find out what his will is. Look at this. I want to go on. It goes on. I want you to go first in your Bible to Romans 12 and 1. Go to 12 and 1. And I want to show you how to pray according to God's will. Number one, if you're going to enter into God and you're going to want him to answer your prayer, you got to pray, number one, for change first for yourself. You got to say, God, when I pray this prayer, I'm not praying about other people. God, I need you to change me first. You know, you can pray about people all you want, but I'm going to tell you something. When he comes into your prayer life, he's going to change you first. Come on, somebody. You can be angry and mad, but you can't stay angry and mad when you're in the presence of the Lord. He's going to mess with you first. Pray for change. You say, God, I need you to change the way I'm thinking. I want to be able to capture how to pray and get my prayers answered. So the first thing we must do is pray for change. Look at Romans 12, 1 as it tells us how to do that. And Paul is speaking to a Roman church newly born, looking to how to have that connection with God, like many of us are trying to have that connection with God. And here's what he says. And he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters. Now, you know he's being sincere because he's using these terms of endearment. Dear brothers and sisters, he says, I plead with you to give your what? To who? Because of all he's done. In other words, I want you to give your life to God, not for what he will do for you, but what he's already done. Man, I mean, that's deep. Can you ever be content? I mean, when you get to the point in your life, you don't feel like, God, if I don't ask you for one more thing, I am grateful for all that you've done in my life. God is looking for saints like that. That means you're a thankful person. You acknowledge that God has done some things in your life. Can you look back where God's done something in your life? I mean, right now, everybody on this side, can you remember a time God came through for you? If you can, just lift your hands for a second. We want to testify to this side. Here in the middle, have you ever seen God come through at the last moment for you? Come on, can y'all look at them? Come on, saints over here, has God ever done a miracle on your behalf? He has done. Listen, saints, if we don't ever see another thing, we got a reason to shout right now. Come on, somebody. We got a reason to say thank you, Lord. I know God's going to do amazing things in your life. I can stop right now, never preach another word, and can guarantee you your life is going to be amazing. Why? Because God ain't done with you yet. But since I have you here, I'll keep preaching anyway. God wants to do amazing things. Listen to what it says. Let them be a living sacrifice. It says a living and holy. That means, listen to me, listen. Living means you're not dead. Your walk isn't dead. You're alive. You're life-giving. But he doesn't just want you alive in church. He doesn't just want you coming to church. He doesn't want you just showing up. He doesn't want you just warming the chair. Who wants to warm a chair? God is saying, I don't want you just to keep the atmosphere. Listen, I want you to be a holy. I mean, I want you to change. I don't want you just to come before me and sit down. That's living. But I need living and a holy. That means you're coming with your heart clean. That means when you walk in the church, you say, Lord, I may have messed up last night. I pray your blood on my life. I'm ready to come before you and start over. God, I want to be holy. That's what he wants. You want your prayers answered? You want to walk out of here knowing God is going to do it for you? Then make up in your mind, God, change me first. I want the glory, but I need the fire right now. What does fire do? Fire burns up anything that ain't like God. When you put gold in fire, it melts it all the way down, and it causes the dross, all the impurities, float to the surface so that the master metalist can take it and move the dross out of your life. You want to say, God, I need the fire that you can bring all the impurities out of my life. And when you're ready to use me, just move the dross away. Then you'll be as precious gold in his sight. You want to be at the point in your life where you say, God, not my will. Jesus said the same thing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, as we're getting ready to close here in just a second. I want to show you how Jesus thought. This is how God was able to do it. You got to make it personal. You got to change for yourself first. Going into prayer and getting God to answer, saying, God, I'm willing to hear what you're about to tell me. You know why some people don't pray? They don't want to hear the answer. Come on, somebody. I tell people all the time, don't you dare ask God if you ain't ready for him to tell you. Because sometimes you ain't ready. God will give you the answer, and you're like, whoa, I don't want that one. I thought you were going to give me what I want. How many ever did this one? I know I have. How many said, God, if that person is the one, God, if they ain't the one, God, give me a sign. Anybody ever prayed that prayer before? God, give me a sign if they ain't the one and the house blows up. God, I'm not sure if that was you. Would you give me another sign? Anybody besides me done that? It's a mess. But you asked. So when he asks, when you ask and he answers, change. Look what Jesus did. Hebrews 10 and 5. That is why when Christ came into the world, ladies and gentlemen, he said to God, this is prayer. You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings. But you have given me a body to offer. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. He said, but you have given me a body to offer. Verse 10 and 6, it says, you were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Verse 7, then I said, this is what Jesus said, look. In other words, God, look at me. God, pay attention to me. Lord, judge me. Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, move it far from me. He said, look, I have come. I have, nobody else. I have come to do your will, oh God. as it is written about me in the scriptures. Me and no one else. This is why it says in Romans 12 and 2, as we continue, it says, don't copy the behavior of the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know what that suggests to you and I? That God's plan for our life is good and pleasing and perfect. And the only problem we have is we don't know it. Can you imagine that? The reason we choose less is because we don't know there's more. But when you are willing to change the way you think and become a living sacrifice, you will know God's will and understand all that he has set for your life. Choose more, not less. Look at your neighbor and say, choose more, not less. We're going to close with how you can choose more. Go to 2 Peter, and this is our last passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. Preach, brother, preach, preach. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Here's what Peter says to you and I, and we'll close with this. And please, if you have a chance, memorize these three verses. They will change your life. Let me show you what the scriptures tell us is an offering to help us know that God will answer our prayers. Listen to this. May God give you more and more grace and peace. He says, I want to give you more. Anybody want more? Who wants more and more? I don't want just more. Give me more and more. He says, I'm going to give you more and more grace, which is unmerited favor and peace, as you, there's a condition, as you grow in your knowledge of God. And the more you know about him, the more powerful you become. The less you know about him, the weaker you become. He says, I want you to have a more and more life. I want you to be better and better. I want you to be bigger and bigger. I want you to be happier and happier. Not just one time, two times. I want you to be twice the person you are. Listen to what he says. And he says, verse 3, watch this. By his, meaning God and our Lord Jesus, by his divine power, God has given us some things we need. No, it can't be the Bible, because we don't pray for everything. Do we? I remember coming up in college, and we were at a revival, and I remember we were standing there, and a minister came. And he said to a bunch of college students, all of us were broke, and we all ate toast. That's all we had for dinner. And he came and said, God says he's going to fill your teeth. He says, if you have cavities, come to the altar. We're going to pray for you. He had the gift of miracles. And you know me being Mr. Logical. I'm like, whatever. God don't care about cavities. He's got issues in the world, right? The poor, the famines, the disease, the war. And the guy said, if you want your cavities filled, come to the altar. And he said, listen, the way you'll know, your teeth will start tingling. Anybody had tingling teeth before? I have never heard of that in my life. I said, this man had lost his mind. Well, you know what? A whole bunch of college kids who had no money, no insurance, came to that altar. And he lined them up, and I stepped up in line. And I'll never forget when my teeth started to tingle. And all of a sudden, across the altar, people began to weep. And we looked, he said, now look in each other's mouths. And we started to look in each other's mouths. And where the cavities were, silver or gold entered into the cavity. And in the middle of it was a cross. I'm not telling you what I didn't see. I'm telling you what I saw with my own two eyes. Well, I'm talking about an entire generation of people that still talk about it to this day. And it was so amazing. One of them took him to a scientist and said, this was in my mouth. The scientist said, what is it? And they took a piece of it off, scraped a bit off. They took it to the local college. And you know what? They tried to find it on the periodical table of elements. It doesn't exist on the natural elements. It's gold out of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, God cares about your cavities. Look at your neighbor and say, He cares about your cavities. We have not because we... Watch what he says here. The Bible says here, but by his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live in for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to what? Know him, the word of God. You know him through the word. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Here's the verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, he's good. He has given us great and precious. Woo. He's given you a way to access the supernatural. And the way that you access the supernatural, he says, these are the promises that enable you to share. Meaning he wants you to have it. He says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The way you have access to it is that you access his promises, that you can access his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In other words, we all find a level of corruption in our life because we live in a corrupted world. But through God's word, he can cleanse us. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, you want to walk out of here getting your prayers answered? Find a promise in the word. And when you pray the promise, look for God to do it. But first, be willing to change your own life. Would you stand to your feet, please?